a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
I hope that you will call tonight, too, because we have a guest who is a very effective prayer warrior. He really understands not only the principles of prayer, but application of prayer. And if you have a prayer request, we're just going to start out with that. You can call us tonight, and we'll pray with you and for you on the program. That's our number, 800-811-3003, and it would be our privilege to do that with you. I'm Kim Cotola, your host for Cradle My Heart Radio, and tonight we're going to talk about the 40 Days for Life prayer campaign. And with us to do that is founder David B. Wright, who's joining us on the phone. David, thank you for making time for us on your Sunday evening. I appreciate it.
Well, Kim, thank you so much for this show, and thank you for the invitation to be here. It's an honor.
So 40 Days for Life has been taking place now once or twice a year. It depends where you are, if there's a prayer campaign going on for you. But I know at the national level, you're just past the midway mark, 26 days into the latest 40 Days for Life campaign. And I want to give you the opportunity to talk about, let's begin at the roots. And you can share with us the story of the inspiration for this movement, because it really has become an international phenomenon and a prayer movement. How did it get started?
Well, Kim, I think you hit the nail on the head when you were mentioning to people if they wanted to call in with prayer requests, because it all started with prayer. And that has led to something that is now literally swept around the globe, and more than 500,000 people have participated in 40 Days for Life campaigns. But it all began when four of us, it was myself, a young married couple named Sean and Mary Lisa Carney, and a young woman named Emily, all of us were living in the small Texas town of College Station, the home of Texas A&M University, and Planned Parenthood, a few years earlier, had opened an abortion facility in our town, and it was the first abortion center in that community. And not only had the death toll of children surpassed 2,000 by the point of the summer of 2004, but by then we had also begun to hear the stories of many of the women who had gone there seeking a quick fix to a problem, what they viewed as a problem, a crisis pregnancy, but instead found many, many regrets following the abortion. And so we were very distressed about this problem, knowing that children were dying, women were being wounded, and we had tried everything we knew to do, but none of it seemed to be effective enough. And out of desperation, it was a summer day in 2004, we just finally said, since we don't have the answer, we need to turn to another source. And that was when we decided to pray, because we recognized with man, ending abortion, saving lives, protecting women, it's impossible. But with God, we're told in Scripture, all things are possible. And so for 1 hour, we prayed around an old wooden table in the little local pro-life organization office there and just asked God to show us what he wanted us to do. And it was during that hour that he really convicted our hearts about a few different things. The first thing was the time frame of 40 days. When we go back through biblical history, we see that time frame show up over and over and over again, and it was always a time frame that God used for testing the faithfulness of his people. And most of the time, it was also a time that God brought about transformation, either in the lives of his people or in cities or nations or throughout the entire world. So from Noah on the ark and Moses on Mount Sinai, Jesus in the wilderness, the apostles' time with our Lord following his resurrection, we see that time frame over and over again bringing about transformation. And so as we pray, the first thing that really weighed on our hearts was, well, why don't we align ourselves with that spiritually significant time frame, because we need transformation in our community and in our nation. And as we prayed, there were three things that we felt that we needed to do for those 40 days. The first was prayer and fasting, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have to pray, but the second part of that, fasting, because in Scripture we're told that some demons can only be driven out through prayer and fasting. And it was something we had never thought to do ourselves specifically related to this, but we had also never asked anybody else to do. So we decided to pray and fast, invite others to pray and fast. The second thing that we felt led to do was to take our prayer to the place where lives were being lost, where women were being wounded, to go and hold a 40-day-long vigil outside of the local abortion facility. Because we're told where two or more gather in our Lord's name, he's present in our midst there, and where is he more urgently needed than that place where so many are wounded, where so many lose their lives? And so we felt it was important to bring our Lord out there in the public right-of-way outside of that abortion facility. We also felt that it was important to go out there because our presence would awaken the conscience of the community and help people to understand children are dying on our watch in our community, women are being wounded, and it would convict some people to be involved in being a part of the solution to that. But most importantly, the reason we felt we had to go out there, Kim, was because we realized that sometimes that mother, at that last possible second, being pressured by everybody and everything else in the world to have an abortion, she may be receptive to help. She may see it as a sign that people are out there loving her and caring about her and willing to help her and direct her to a local pregnancy resource center where they can receive love and compassion rather than the sales pitch for abortion they would get inside. Mm-hmm. So prayer and fasting, peaceful vigil. And then the final thing during that hour of prayer that we felt we had to do was spread the word, because the media is never going to champion our cause for us. And fortunately, you have venues like your wonderful show here, Cradle My Heart. But for the most part, the media is not going to go out and promote a life-affirming, life-saving, healing message. And so we have to be the media. We have to talk to friends and fellow believers and family. We have to do community outreach, and that's what we decided to do. So those were the three things, prayer and fasting, peaceful vigil, community outreach, wrapped around a 40-day time frame that led us to take the leap of faith. And we were terrified to do it, but to do the first 40 Days for Life campaign in that little community. And we were completely stunned as 1,000 people participated in that campaign. And that year at the end, abortions were reduced by 28% when we got the Department of Health numbers. So we were in awe of what God had done. But little did we know at that point that what had begun in such a humble way with an hour of prayer and started in one community would grow and spread around the world. So we're just amazed at what God has been doing.
David B. Wright is our guest, and our phones are open, and we will pray for you. If you have a prayer request, please, I'm quite serious, call us. And, of course, the ground rules always are that you don't need to give a name. You can just join us. If you're shy to even have your voice on the air, that's all right. Talk with our call screener. We'll get it taken care of, and we'll convey your prayer request and pray with you and for you tonight. 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003. 40 Days for Life, you referenced 2004, and I want to talk about, the summary of the results since then is really stunning. At least 500 cities, over 575,000 participants, 16,000 churches, documented cases of over 7,500 lives spared from abortion, 39 abortion facilities shut down, and among them, the Planned Parenthood in College Station, Texas.
Yes.
it doesn't happen that way, David. And, you know, I, for one, watching the Democratic National Convention last year, and this show is not political, but they took their moment on the national stage to make abortion their platform. They had Cecile Richard, they had Sandra Fluck, they had Donna Brazile, and it was like there were the abortion party. A big abortion is a huge industry in America. And I only bring up the political aspect to say that their tentacles run deep into the halls of power and influence. And for a prayer campaign, which is grassroots and has none of that, none of the political influence, the money, the power brokers, the status, to topple that Planned Parenthood location, I mean, it really is a David and Goliath story, and it's so inspiring.
Well, it is, and there's so much that's tied into that, and I see on your website, cradlemyheart.org, you have the picture of literally the sign toppled in front of that specific facility. But, you know, when we went out there to pray and to participate in that first 40 Days for Life, we just had that little tiny mustard seed of belief that maybe it would make a difference. And not only did we never imagine that this campaign would spread around the world, as you mentioned, not only did we know that it would have the impact of saving thousands of lives in hundreds of cities, But we didn't know that the director of that Planned Parenthood abortion facility, a young lady named Abby Johnson, who was the person out there yelling at the prayer volunteers and the person who was going on the local media calling it 40 days of harassment, little did we know that during the sixth 40 Days for Life campaign outside of that facility, as that community held multiple campaigns, Abby would have the scales peeled away from her eyes, and she would have a complete conversion on the issue of abortion. She was called into the procedure room by the abortionist. She actually participated in an ultrasound-guided abortion, the first time she had ever participated in this procedure, and she watched in horror as a 13-week-old baby boy perished right in front of her eyes. And I won't describe it in graphic detail here, but she instantly knew everything I have believed, everything I have sold women, everything Planned Parenthood told me, it was a lie. And she ran out of that facility and ran next door to the local pro-life organization and said, I'm ready to get out. And Sean Carney, who works now with 40 Days for Life, was there and just received her with a hug and with a love and said, we've been here waiting for you. And she began her healing journey not only from her own past abortions, but from her role in the abortion industry. And after Planned Parenthood sued her and ultimately their lawsuit was dismissed, Abby was free to tell her story literally around the world, which she has done now. Millions of people have heard her story on CNN and Fox News and ABC and EWTN and Focus on the Family. But that Planned Parenthood was where she came out of. And then on August 1st of this year, that became the 38th abortion facility to close down following a 40 Days for Life campaign outside. So it was just enormously gratifying. And I would encourage your listeners to realize that can happen right where they live as well.
I have a friend who reminds me that sometimes God is just blatant and we cannot mistake his activity in the world around us. It's about 15 minutes after the hour, and we're going to take a break. And as you just heard David B. Wright say, Abby Johnson was post-abortive when she made the decision to step across the line, and she has received her healing. I'm a woman who experienced abortion, and I have received my healing. And tonight, if you're tuning in because you need a bit of hope to hold on to, you need a prayer in the night. I want to share with you a prayer from the first chapter of my book, From Cradle My Heart, because I think that just getting started, coming before the Lord, I think is so important, and sometimes we need help with the words. And this prayer was based on what happened in the healing of the man at the lame who'd been lame at the pool for 38 years. I don't know how long it's been that you've been in need of help. But this is our prayer for you tonight. Lord Jesus, I want to get well. I want to move from fear and failure into a new life. Help me leave a place of languishing and weak faith. Help me to face myself now after abortion and lay down the pain of the past as I pick up new faith in you. You know the truth, Lord. You know each one that was involved that day. Help us, Lord. Forgive each one of us as we accept our part, knowing that you can change us, beginning right now. Lord, I no longer need to be anchored to sin or wrong choices. Help me to get up and walk away from the past as you fulfill my true desire to be spiritually healthy now. And we ask it in Jesus' name for each one listening who needs it. Your phone calls are coming up after this short break, so do join us at 800-811-3003. Our guest tonight, David B. Wright. I'm Kim Cotola. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
Yes, we are welcoming your phone calls tonight, especially if you are in need of prayer. Our guest tonight is a man who is effective in prayer. He is the founder of the 40 Days for Life prayer campaign, which is now a worldwide movement, and at least 30-plus abortion facilities have closed as a result of this campaign. It's an amazing thing that has occurred, and you might think that your prayer would be perhaps insignificant in the face of such marvelous results, but I promise you that no prayer is too small, and we would love to pray with you and for you tonight at 800-811-3003. David B. Wright, our guest. I'm Kim Catola. Let's go to the phones. Susan is listening in Indiana, and Susan, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Go ahead, please, with your question.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm really well. Thanks for calling.
Good. Well, first of all, my name isn't Susan. I'm not even in Indiana. I'm just so afraid that someone will know my voice and know what I'm about to say. About over 20 years ago, I had an abortion. This was before I was saved. It's been a well-kept secret. And I've sometimes wondered if I should share this more publicly in the hopes that it would help others, either keep them from having an abortion or help them in their healing process. So I have a kind of a high-profile job, and plus I have a child that I gave birth to after my abortion. And if he knew, I'm afraid that he would judge me very harshly. And it might really destroy our relationship.
David, I'll let you answer this first because I know, as I mentioned, the 40 Days for Life. One of the things I love about the campaign, David, is the daily devotional that goes out during the 40 days. And there's a frequent component for post-abortion care. And, Susan, I really appreciate you opening your heart. I know it takes courage to even make that phone call tonight. So, David, how would you respond with Susan's request?
Well, the first thing, Susan, I just want you to know is, just as Kim said, thank you for calling. Thank you for sharing your heart. And just know that not only do we love you and appreciate you calling in, but God loves you. And the beautiful thing, as believers, though our sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And I just would encourage you to continue on a healing journey. If you've been through a healing program, that's wonderful. It's a continual process for all of us to find healing and reconciliation with our Lord. The other thing I would just say, and this is something that you will have to bathe in prayer for your own situation, I believe the most powerful message in the entire pro-life movement that can prevent future abortions, that can change even the most hardened of hearts, is the testimony of women who have been wounded and then healed after abortions. Sean Carney, who is now our campaign director for 40 Days for Life, he was a young man. He was planning to go to law school. He was planning to pursue a lucrative career, and he went to one on-campus panel of women sharing their testimonies following abortions, and it completely changed the direction of his life, and today he's working full-time and has been a part of a movement that has helped to save thousands of other children. More than a third of the local 40 Days for Life campaign leaders that we work with have themselves gone through the experience of abortion, many post-abortive women and some men who have been a part of an abortion in their past. And they see this as a way to lovingly and compassionately offer help and help to prevent those others who are at risk of going through the same thing, prevent them from going through that experience. And so I don't know what God is asking you to do. I certainly know that he loves you. I certainly know there is forgiveness if you have not fully found that yet. If you wish to continue on that journey, I'm sure Kim can recommend some wonderful programs that exist to help people continue to work through that healing process. But if the Lord leads you to then begin to share that story with others, it can be profoundly powerful. The former U.S. Senator from Georgia, Zell Miller, a hardened Democrat, was pro-abortion, and he heard post-abortion testimonies, and he completely changed his position and began to advocate on behalf of life after hearing post-abortive testimonies. So definitely discern it. I don't think everybody who has had an abortion is necessarily called to go out into the public square and share their testimony. But those who do can be profoundly life-changing, and there are certainly many ways that you can invest your time and your talents into doing things that can help other women avoid the struggle that you have gone through.
Susan, I hope that helps. I hope that helps. And the thing that I would say, too, as to your question about whether or not to keep it a secret, I think that what happened in my case is that my secret kept me. You mentioned that it's been more than 20 years, and for me it was 23 years of it being an impossibility to share the truth with people, even people close to me. So I wasn't really known to people that thought they had an intimate relationship with me because I felt that I needed to shield them from this knowledge. And so I would say that David and I want to pray with you tonight. And I hope that that would be the beginning of you seeking the Lord's answer for you on this, because I think he will make it very clear to you what he has in mind. And when it's clear to you, I know that you will have peace and you will have a security about what you decide to do going forward, because that's who he is. That's who our Lord is. So may we pray for you? David, would you?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes. David, would you like to please begin, please?
Dearest Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this lady with such a heart for you calling in, and we just ask you to bless her, to give her peace, and to help her to clearly discern your holy will for her, to continue to just know the love and healing and forgiveness that you provide through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that she would know who to share her experiences with, and how to let this secret not be something that holds her back anymore. And dear God, help her to have the wisdom to understand if you want her to share that story with others publicly or in a way that can help other women avoid the same experience that she has gone through that has brought so much pain. We just ask that you bless her, that you comfort her, that you give her the strength, the discernment, and the wisdom, and that we just ask that as she goes through this process, as she goes through this experience, and as she discerns your holy will, that you'll find the special ways to help her know how she can make a difference, how she can help other women, those who have been through the same experience so they too can find healing, those who have not yet been in the situation but who are at risk, that they can avoid this, and just for her family to have just peace as she shares this in whatever capacity she feels led to share. We just thank you so much for beginning this conversation and for her faith and courage to call in tonight. And we just ask that you strengthen her and give her clarity on exactly what you want her to do, when you want her to do it, and how you want to do it.
Yes, Lord, I agree. And I also, Lord, I think of Revelation 12, where you say that the accuser of the brethren goes around accusing us all day long, but we have overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, sometimes we think that we have to tell all the gory details of our story in order to overcome. But I know in my heart that the word of our testimony is about you and about who you are, Jesus, and what you have done for us. And so, Lord, as you continue to nurture Susan, I pray that you would make it abundantly clear to her what it is that you have for her to tell others about who you are and about what you have done for her and in her life. And I thank you, Lord, that you made her bold to call tonight, and I pray that you would give her, as David said, discernment about what her next step should be. And I also pray, Lord, for the fear that she has of disclosing this within her family, especially to her son. Lord, we want to protect those close to us, and I ask that you would be the protection, that you would be the safe place for Susan to return to as she considers talking with her son, and that you would even provide words if you ordain those conversations to take place. That all of it, Lord, that you would be in charge of it so she doesn't have to have any anxiety about it going forward. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Susan. I appreciate your call tonight. Stay in touch, all right, and let us know how it goes.
Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you guys.
God
bless you, too. It is 30 minutes after the hour, and we're going to take a break, and David has agreed to stay with us. We have some other guests planned for the program tonight, so it'll be a group discussion as we go forward, and your voice is needed, too. Won't you join us at 800-811-3003? If you are involved in a 40 Days for Life campaign locally, would love to have your voice and your phone call and your report If you'd like prayer requests, please, we're very open to that tonight. Coming up, we're going to talk with Denise Walker, who has a ministry that not only helps people to recover after abortion, but also marriage recovery. And we will want to talk about how abortion impacts marriage, particularly for wives. And David's going to stay with us through that discussion and for your prayers. So you stay with us, too. 800-811-3003.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. My Heart with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Your voice is needed, and we would love to pray with you and pray for you tonight with our guest, David B. Wright of 40 Days for Life, and others who are coming up shortly. So join us at 800-811-3003. You know, the 40 Days for Life campaign, I think, is so effective because it isn't simply a message, don't have an abortion. There is a wide network of help and alternatives available to give women a true choice. And that is, of course, the pregnancy help movement. And so we love to do all we can on this program to support that at the local level. And joining us to talk about a quick event for our Georgia listeners is Susan Storr, who's with the Fayette Pregnancy Resource Center. And that's right in my backyard. And Susan, it's so nice to have you with us tonight to just give a quick mention to an event that you have coming up.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on the show. We're talking about the Golf for Life that we have coming up November 1st. This is for located in Fayette County, Georgia. It's going to be at Whitewater Creek Country Club. And I guess, should I give the website for more information?
Sure, or how people can get in touch. This is, you said it's on Friday, November 1st.
Friday, November 1st, that's right, at 1 p.m. And if you're interested in coming, you can go to our website, which is fayetteprc.org. And if you click on the Get Involved tab, it will give you more information.
Okay. And so it's $95 for an individual or $360 for a foursome. Now, the proceeds are going for a really exciting development at your center,
yes.
Ultrasound.
We're really excited because we're going to medical where we're going to have an ultrasound machine. Actually, it just was delivered last week, which is so exciting. We're making the conversion process and hope by early next year to be able to offer the ultrasound option to any woman who gets a positive pregnancy test, which is really going to have an amazing impact, I think, just to offer women the opportunity to see the heartbeat and to hear that really makes a big difference.
All right. Well, Susan, thank you so much for letting us know about it, and thank you for the work that you do at Fayette Pregnancy Resource Center. If you're in the South Metro of Atlanta, be sure to support this organization because, as I say, now a true alternative even with the ultrasound and the medical testing that's going to be available. Thank you, Susan, for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You know, the pregnancy help movement is such an encouragement. That's where so much of the post-abortion healing is going on, and as I say, the hope is really being found for women and men. And these ministries exist as the result of prayer and as a result of the support of God's people. And, you know, in the same way that the radio station that you're listening to this program on exists as a result of prayer and the generosity of God's people. And this is the fall fundraising season for all of these organizations, probably stewardship time at your church, too. But I just would ask that you remember this radio station in your prayers and with your giving, because I know the need is there. And I'm so grateful that we have a platform for this program as a result of your support. So now, as David B. Wright is waiting in the wings, too, to continue the hour with us, I want to bring in Denise Walker. Reverend Denise Walker is a friend of mine and ministry colleague from my time in the Twin Cities. She's the founder of Everlasting Light Ministries with her husband, Reverend Brian Walker. And they've been ministering in this vineyard since 1999. They have post-abortion ministry they offer. They have marriage recovery and repair and so much more that they're doing. And, Denise, it's just a joy to speak with you tonight.
Glad to be on the line with you. Congratulations on your radio program.
Thank you. And, of course, David is here, and I know that you two saw each other, I think, in Minneapolis not long ago.
Mm-hmm. Hello, David.
Hi, Denise. It's great to hear your voice again after getting a big hug from you a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Brian's on the line, too, so you got all three of us.
Yeah, all right. Hi, Brian.
Hi. How are you doing?
Hey, Brian.
Hi, David.
One of the things I wanted to talk with you about, Denise, tonight is this issue that has come up a lot in conversation for me with people, not necessarily on this program, but as I've been doing face-to-face ministry, and that's the issue of how abortion impacts marriage later on down the line. We heard from our caller a minute ago, you know, how deeply concerned she is that her son would learn about her abortion 20 years ago. But it's also important for us to understand the ripples that abortion can have through marriage. And this is such a small amount of time for such a big topic. But if you would have 5 minutes with somebody whose marriage has had an abortion in the past that has not been dealt with, what would you say is probably the most important thing for that wife to do, Denise, that woman to do, to begin to address this in the marriage?
Well, the first thing that has to happen is for her own soul to be healed. Marriage is made up of two individuals, fallen individuals, broken individuals. And when you have had an abortion or there's been an abortion between the two of you, as it was with Brian and I, it was absolutely essential that we both get healed and healing from the abortion experience itself. I went through Rich and Mercy, and he went through Conquerors. And so it was at the end of the first time that I went through healing that we began to understand that the problem in our marriage, the main issue that was separating us, dividing us, causing me to want to divorce Brian 4 times in a 17-year period was the abortion. So the first thing that has to happen is healing and a recognition that the wages of sin is death. And for Brian and I, we experienced every bit of it. We tried to build a marriage on a foundation of premarital sex, fornication, and prenatal murder, abortion. And when you try to build a marriage on that kind of a foundation, there is nothing, there's no place else to go but down. You can't go up. There's no trajectory to go up because there's no healing, there's no light, there's no insight, and most importantly, no strategy as to how to get out of it. So that's the first thing that has to happen. The second thing is once this issue is uncovered, then we need to allow for the Holy Spirit to show us how it infiltrates and essentially just destroys the fabrics that make a relationship. One is trust. Well, once you've had an abortion between each other, there is no trust. It's complete betrayal. I felt totally betrayed by Brian, especially in view of our previous activities with regards to South Africa, organizing for people in other countries to get their freedom. But yet when it came time for our family, for our children, for the health and welfare of our children, he literally went out and punked out on me. And so I felt totally betrayed. My knight in shining armor had so much rust and chink on it, it was hard to recover. Also, one of the reasons why we had the abortion was because we didn't want to be impoverished. We wanted to have a better life. Well, after the abortion, not only did we not have a better life, but it just hurled us into poverty. And so all the reasons for having the abortion were completely revisited. And so as far as I was concerned, it was a waste. There was no place else to go. And so we had to learn how to communicate. Brian and I never knew how to communicate. When the abortion occurred, we shut it down. He told me he didn't want to talk about it anymore. He wanted to move on. In the meantime, I'm discombobulating. I can't function. So I'm sentenced to a lifestyle of suffering and silence. Well, that anger, it's got to come out, and it's got to show up. And how does it show up? It shows up in disrespect. And I mean utter, gutter disrespect. It was so bad between Brian and I that, to be frank with you, I couldn't even function. I couldn't even relate to him. And so we had to begin to seek help for the marriage piece itself. Mm-hmm. And so we went through a few marriage ministries. Some of them were quite fluff and didn't help at all. But then there was this one ministry we went through, and there was this segment about sowing and reaping. And that was the segment that showed us that we had an opportunity to change the course of our lives. The first thing we had to do was decide that marriage is of God and that it's God's will for us to have a marriage that He always wanted for us. So we had to decide that divorce was no longer an option. The second thing that we had to do was pluck up all the bad seeds that we had sown. And to pluck them up, we first had to identify them all. And then after plucking up all the bad seeds, we then had the opportunity to then plant new seeds. We had to learn how to talk to one another. And for us, and initially, it meant literally upchucking. It meant okay, let's just say it the way we feel it. Let's not worry about the language. Let's just get it out because we have been holding this stuff in for years. Let's just get it out, and then we'll clean it up later, okay? But in that process, we learned that, one, we have to talk to one another. We have to take the time to talk to one another. And we have to learn how to finally talk to one another so that we can hear what each other are saying, and to check back with one another. We had to learn how to apologize, and apologize often. Bottom line is we had to repent, and repent more. We had to forgive, and continuously forgive. And we had to learn the other partner's apology language, and then we had to walk in this. And then there were times when we would miss it.
Sure.
You know, and when we would miss it, it would feel like we had not progressed at all. It would feel like we were back where we started. And we had to remember, and this is the walk by faith and not by sight, we had to remember that, no, on this day we made this decision. On this day we turned our back on sin. On this day we repented. On these days we forgave. We had to continually forgive. And we're going to do it again. And it's like antibiotic. You know, when you first start taking an antibiotic, you know, your illness is not necessarily gone away. But as you continue to take that antibiotic, you continue to apply the Word of God. You continue to apply the salve of the Holy Spirit. Then as this continues to happen, the marriage is then revived. It is then revitalized, and then we can walk and talk and schedule dates and schedule alone time and kill off the roommate syndrome that Brian and I were living in for 17 years.
I'm going to interrupt you just to take a short break here, but, wow, I mean, there's so much there. And our guest, Reverend Denise Walker, is joined also by her husband, Reverend Brian Walker. And they are the leaders of Everlasting Light Ministries in Minneapolis. And they also have work that they do with the National Black Pro-Life Coalition. They have many ministries that they are serving in very effectively. And we're also still with David B. Wright from 40 Days for Life. After a short break, the phones are still open for you, too, at 800-811-3003. I want to have David lead us in a prayer about the dignity of manhood and womanhood, because this is what really bubbles to the surface of your remarks, Denise, the wound that abortion does within a marriage to the womanhood of the wife and the manhood of the husband. So we'll take this short break, and then we'll be back. And please do join us on the phone. Our phones are open tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
It is about the final 10 minutes of our program tonight, and of course time goes so quickly when our topics are as deep as we try to tackle each week. But before we leave, I do want to give you the resources for our guests. 40daysforlife.org is the website for David B. Wright's organization, and you will find there links to your local campaign. And as I said when we began the program here, it's day 26 of this particular 40 Day for Life campaign. And also, if you want to get in touch with Brian and Denise Walker, their website is ELLM.org, EverlastingLightMinistries.org. And, of course, both organizations are on Facebook. I pray that you will go to their pages and like them and spread the word about the good work that each organization is doing. David, perhaps you had a different direction as you listened to Denise talk about the impact of abortion on marriage and the practical steps that Denise outlined for recovery. But your thoughts, and then, if you will, just take us to a time of prayer for the married people impacted by abortion listening tonight.
Well, I'm very fortunate that neither my wife or I were touched or affected by abortion going into our marriage, and therefore I defer strongly to the advice of those who have been through the experience and have found the healing, and I just appreciate Brian and Denise so much. I think the world of them, and I have so much respect for them and can understand why the West Coast Walk for Life would put them in front of 50,000 people and to share their testimony, because they truly, not only themselves have gone through healing, but they can help so many others to find healing. And I think the important thing is that, you know, marriage is already under attack on so many different fronts, and it's just being pummeled from every direction, and it's not easy. I was just talking with somebody yesterday when I was in Florida about how the fact that I've been married 21 years is surprising to some people, that, wow, somebody can be married that long. And abortion only brings an extra layer of tremendous complication and tension into it. And so if somebody is listening who has been through an abortion and you are married, whether it's, as Brian and Denise, the person that you're married to, you went through that abortion with, or it's a secret you've never shared, I would really encourage you to take that very first step of healing, because that is absolutely fundamental to be able to strengthen that relationship and to gird it against all the attacks in our society today. And if I could, Kim, let me just say a word of prayer specifically related to, as you'd said going into the break, the dignity of manhood and womanhood, and then certainly can allow Brian and Denise to share some closing thoughts and for you to wrap up. But if that's okay, can I lead us
in
prayer?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
Dear Heavenly Father, from the very beginning of your word, you told us that you made man in your image, in your likeness, and you created us in that image, male and female. You blessed us, and you said to humanity to be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth and to subdue it. And in creating us, male and female, man and woman, you have given us unique and special gifts, and we thank you for those gifts. And tonight we would ask that all men that God created as men would be men, that they would live out their role of being a protector, a provider, and to be one who looks out for women and children first, to be masculine, and to be everything that God intends that man to be. And for those women to be embracing of those gifts of compassion and nurturing and being feminine. And we thank you for the gift of women. It's just such a beautiful gift, the way you have made man and woman different but yet complementary. And we just ask that each of us appreciate and respect the role that we have, to appreciate the dignity and the worth of our differences, and to find ways that we can help others to celebrate and respect those differences. Dear God, much of the problems that we are facing today is because we have totally forgotten what it means to be a man, to be a woman, and most importantly, to be your child, and to recognize that every human life is created in your image, knit together in a mother's womb, perfectly loved by you. You know every hair on every person's head. Help us to appreciate the gift that you have made in us in giving us life, and also to see and value that gift in everyone around us, our family members, those we interact with in work and in school, and to understand that there are some who are at risk even right now, the most vulnerable among us, and help us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Innocent female and male children in the womb, their mothers, their fathers, those who are at risk of making a tragic decision, those who advocate for abortion, those who are in legislative and political roles, that they would understand that life is precious and that they would respect and protect that fundamental right that you gave us. We ask this in your Son's most precious name. Amen.
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 And Brian, I apologize that our time is so short, but I know that I can depend on you to bring the word. If there are men listening tonight and they don't know where to start in God's word to begin to get their heart right on this issue of an abortion in their past that they promoted or that they were unable to stop and they need healing for that, please just, can you share with us where you would send a brother like that in God's word?
Strange enough, I would send him to the Book of Ruth, and I was one of my nicknames. It was Boaz on my better days, I should say that. And the way that he treated her, and the way he protected her testimony in the field that she was gleaning, and he said, "Other folks, don't come near her, don't touch her, don't bother her." And I think that's just the spirit of how men should act: honor your wife, honor your girlfriend, and honor your fiance the way that Jesus would treat her. And I think that that's the most important thing to do. And also, the Book of Proverbs has a wealth of knowledge about how men should walk, how men should be, and how men should act. And also, I would say for men in general, if you've been the perpetrator of the abortion, paid for it, put your wife or girlfriend up to it, and you do have continued relationship, walk humbly also with your God, but also walk humbly with your wife, because you've hurt her greatly. Pray for her. Pray for yourself, but most of all, pray for her, for God to bring the healing and also for the pain to end between the two of you. And also, there's great hope. You know, Jesus is our hope. Look to the help. Look to our hills where help comes. We don't look to the hills. We look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And there is hope. There is help. Don't wait the average 10 years that a couple or individual waits to get their healing. Try to do it right away, because this is the day the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Psalm 118. All right, Brian and Denise Walker, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We're just going to have you back soon. That's all.
I agree.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for sacrificing your couple time for us tonight. And David B. Wright also, thank you. And God's blessings for 40 Days for Life.
Thank you, Kim. God bless.
We'll be back next week with an encore with Linda Cochran, and then a live program on the 3rd with Leslie Unruh. Join us then, won't you?